Right now it's time to bring in Brian Ross. It's time for Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and we say good morning to Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Miles, and that's probably true when it comes to America's politics. Prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
Well, you know, I've said all along that I did not think the person who thought he was going to become Speaker of the House is going to. Now, he might, but if he does, he's going to give up any decisions that he has to make to a very, very strong contingent. But I still don't, I just don't know whether or not he can pull it off or not.
It's a big question. He's got the conservatives and the so-called moderates in the Republican Party going at each other's throats. And today, as you may know, former President Trump is making, he says, a major announcement at some point today. And you know, there are people who are speculating that perhaps he could be named Speaker of the House. You don't have to be a member of Congress to be a Speaker of the House.
It would go along. I'll put it this way.
It would not be surprising that he would try that.
No, not at all. Not at all. But it would create something for the next 2 years that would be beneficial to Democrats, and it would create an all-out war amongst people running for president in the Republican Party.
Right, and as you know, one of the sort of doomsday scenarios from the point of people who don't like Mr. Trump is that he could become a speaker. They could then bollocks up the count in 2024, and he could be named the president by Congress if there was no official certification. So it's far-fetched, but people are thinking about it and worrying about it.
Nothing when it comes to Donald Trump is far-fetched. If it's one thing we've learned over the lifetime that we've known Donald Trump as people who follow the news, which is probably, I would say, 60 years from a young boy when he was working with his father, nothing is out of the realm of possibility.
Right. He says America needs a superhero. He's ready to step forward. So we'll see what he does today. It could be nothing. A lot of his announcements have been pretty much, as they say in the news business, nothing burgers.
All right. So so we look at that. And once again, we look at the weather in this country. And it's, you know, we live now in an area, in an era of weather that is highly unpredictable because of climate change. And climate change isn't just human beings destroying the climate. It's the regular climate change that the Earth goes through. But we are in a situation now where unbelievable weather happens more often than it ever did before. And we've got tornadoes, heavy snow, flooding, all going on with this one huge storm that is crossing the United States.
Yes, indeed, and we're, as you say, getting ready for something here. I saw the red sky this morning. I was looking over my backyard. You know, they say red sky in the morning, so there's warning.
Well, we'll see what happens. Let's move on to the Ukraine and Europe. You know, the more he speaks, the more you worry about the mental. What is behind the mind of Vladimir Putin, because the way he speaks now and the way he, it's not like he's speaking off the cuff. These are well thought out ideas that he's passing along. They're scary ideas.
They are. Talking to people who've been watching this closely, who've been in touch with people who've been in touch with him, and you know, he's not sick, despite some reports that he has physical frailties. And he's not crazy. Apparently people say he realizes he made a mistake, but he cannot figure out at this point how to get out of it and who actually to talk to. Who do you negotiate with? Because Zelensky won't negotiate with him. He's looking for somebody else to come in and help put a negotiated end to it, and the Ukrainians are having none of it at the moment.
No, and Ukrainians are doing something that I mentioned way back months and months and months ago. They hit the private army that's been hired by the Russians, the Wagner headquarters. They are also now picking out big, and I mean big, Russian targets in Crimea. They are not only trying to take back the lands that they lost at the start of this war, but I think that the I think their attacks on Crimea really are the attacks that they hope, if they're going to bring the Russians to the table, it would be there.
Well, that is, as you put your finger on, I think, a fundamental question. How far does Ukraine want to go, and how far will the U.S. and NATO allies support those aspirations? Is it to take back the property, the territory that was taken, you know, earlier this year, or is it to go and push and get back Crimea? And that's a much bigger task and a much harder fight.
Yeah, the war has come to, it's developed in a way that when it started, nobody thought it would develop to what it's developed into. Nobody. I don't remember hearing one military pundit think that we would be in the position we are right now.
No, and you know, the reports this morning how the Russians now have laid out a series of trenches a la World War One and various traps for tanks to sort of freeze the Ukrainian advances. And speaking of freeze, that's what they're really waiting for the ground to freeze so that the armored vehicles can traverse over the property of the ground there without being stuck in the mud.
All right, and we have to wrap up this coverage with the World Cup soccer tournament. I mean, we have Argentina, a perennial power. France defeats the first Muslim company to make it into the semifinals. France has a chance to do something that's only been done twice in the past, and that's be a repeat champion.
Right. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we'll see it unfold. You look at the sort of the growing popularity of that sport called football in Europe and overseas, soccer here, and millions of Americans are tuning in to games between Argentina and Europeans and Croatia. You couldn't imagine that a few years ago, but now the soccer craze has really taken off here.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I never used to watch the World Cup. I watch it now. I watch it as much as I can. I'm not sure it's going to transfer over to people playing more soccer here, but Americans are finally waking up to the fact that the World Cup is one of the premier sporting events in the world, and as long as they can bet on it, they'll watch it.
True, but watching it, they go up and down the field, back and forth, rarely scoring at any point over the 90 minutes or so, and then with this sort of magical overage time they add on to it. But it's not a high-scoring game.
No.
It's not like football or baseball can be.
Well, I think half the people watch it just to hear the announcers say score.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And actually listening to the foreign announcers is the most entertaining part of the whole thing. But if you look at the kids of Americans, current generation, they're playing a lot of soccer, yep. A lot less football.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, enjoy the weather, whatever it is that's coming, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, I've got the fireplace wood all stacked in, ready to go.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Brian Ross with Real News this morning here on The Breakfast Club. You can find Brian at our website, robinhoodradio.com. Click on interviews. Click on, of course, Real News with Brian Ross.